It was a terrible thing. Her mother had been a kind woman, or as kind as a devout woman could be, while trying to keep up with the whims of Nuggan, and she'd died slowly and painfully, amid pictures of the Duchess and among the echoes of unanswered prayers. But that was the memory that crawled treacherously into Polly's mind every time, the fury and the scolding, while the little bird seemed to flutter in the flames. In the fields, women and old men were getting in the spoiled wheat after last night's rain, hoping to save what they could. There weren't any young men visible. Polly saw some of the other recruits steal a glance at the scavenging parties and wondered if they were thinking the same thing. They saw no one else on the road until midday, when the party was marching through a landscape of low hills. The sun had boiled away some of the clouds, and, for a moment at least, summer was back, moist and sticky and mildly unpleasant, like a party guest who won't go home. A red blob in the distance became a rather larger blob and resolved itself into a loose knot of men. Polly knew what to expect as soon as she saw it. By the reaction of some of the others, they did not. There was a moment of collision and confusion as people walked into one another, and then the party stopped and stared. It took the wounded men some time to draw level and some time to pass. Two able-bodied men, as far as Polly could tell, were trundling a handcart on which a third man lay. Others were limping on crutches or had arms in slings or wore red jackets with an empty sleeve. Perhaps worse were the ones like the man in the inn, grey-faced, staring straight ahead, jackets buttoned tight despite the heat. One or two of the injured glanced at the recruits as they lurched past, but there was no expression in their eyes beyond a terrible determination. Jackram reined in the horse. "All right, 20 minutes breather," he muttered. Igor turned, nodded to the party of wounded heading grimly onward, and said, "Permission to see if I can do anything for them, Sarge." "You'll get your chance soon enough, lad," said the sergeant.
"Sarge," said Igor, looking hurt.
"All right, if you must. Do you want someone to give you a hand?" There was a nasty laugh from Corporal Strappy.
"Some assistance would be a help, yes, Sergeant," said Igor with dignity.
Sergeant looked at the squad and nodded. "Private Alter, step forward. Know anything about doctoring?" The red-headed Tonker stepped forward smartly.
"I butchered pigs for me, ma'am, Sarge," he said.
"Capital. Better than an army surgeon, upon my oath. Off you go, 20 minutes, remember. And don't let Igor bring back any souvenirs," said Strappy, and laughed his scraping laugh again. The rest of the boys sat down on the grass by the road, and one or two of them disappeared into the bushes. Polly went on the same errand, but pushed in a lot further, and took the opportunity to make a little sock adjustment. They had a tendency to creep if she wasn't careful. She froze at a rustling behind her, and then relaxed. She'd been careful. No one would have seen anything. So what if someone else was taking a leak? She'd just push her way back to the road and take no notice. Lofty sprang up as Polly parted the bushes, breeches around one ankle, face red as a beetroot. Polly couldn't help herself. Maybe it was the socks. Maybe it was the pleading expression on Lofty's face. When someone's broadcasting "don't look," the eyes have a mind of their own and go where they're not wanted. Lofty jumped up, dragging at her clothes.
"No, look, it's all right," Polly began, but it was too late. The girl had gone.
Polly stared at the bushes and thought, "Blast! There's two of us." But what would I have said next? "It's okay, I'm a girl too. You can trust me. We could be friends. Oh, and here's a good tip about socks." Igor and Tonka arrived back late, without saying anything. Nor did Sergeant Jackram. The squad moved off. Polly marched at the back with Carborundum. This meant she could keep a wary eye on Lofty, whoever she was. For the first time, Polly really looked at her. She was easy to miss because she was always, as it were, in Tonka's shadow. She was short, although now Polly knew she was female, the word petite could decently be used, and was dark and dark-haired and had a strange, self-absorbed look. And she was always marching with Tonka. Come to think of it, she always slept close to him too. Ah, so that was it. She's following her boy, Polly thought. It was kind of romantic and very, very dumb. Now she knew to look beyond the clothes and haircut. She could see all the little clues that Lofty was a girl, and a girl who hadn't planned enough.